It's good for us to be able to come back together today to worship God, and we have an opportunity this evening to study once again from His Word and hopefully learn some things that will help us to be better servants in His sight. Just a moment ago, David led us in a word of prayer, and I asked the question, did that prayer do any good? Did that prayer do any good? There wasn't a voice from heaven that responded. God did not say anything audibly. There was no change that I know of made inside the building here. Nothing was changed that I know of. So what good did that prayer do? I want to answer that question this evening from God's Word, because that's a natural question that is raised. When I pray, what good does it do? I don't see any immediate changes. I don't hear anything. I don't see anything. Sometimes I feel the same way that I did when I get done. So what good does prayer do? In fact, that's actually the question that is raised by the unbeliever. Sometimes you'll see this in a discussion of atheism, where unbelievers and atheists will say to you, well, you pray all the time, but what good does it do? Do you ever see any change? And we might be kind of stumped or dumbfounded. We're not really sure how to respond to that, because we might be thinking about an audible response from God or something like that. We might be thinking, well, I don't know how I would answer that. What good does prayer do? Prayer is something that we do every day, but what good does it do? Turn with me to James chapter 5, and in just a moment we want to read James chapter 5, the last few verses there. There are several verses at the end of that chapter dealing with prayer, and so we want to turn there. And James says that prayer avails much. I believe the New American Standard says accomplishes much. So according to James, it does something, but what does it do? As you're turning over there, I want you to think about when we were in school. Do you remember? The child will often ask, what good will all this learning do me? Do you remember that? You're sitting there in class and you're taking some math class or science class or history class or whatever subject it is, and you're not really interested in it, and you're thinking, what good is this going to do me? I'm never going to use it. I'm never going to use it in my life, in my job. I don't have any plans of ever. What good does this do me? What we don't realize is that that particular subject is cumulative of learning, and all of it together helps us later in life in different facets of our life. But often we're sitting in a class and we're taking a specific class and we're thinking, what good is this going to do me? And so what do? We don't put our heart into it. We don't put our all into it. We may not get a very good grade. We may not enjoy it because we don't see the practical value of it. I think about the musician or the athlete who asks, what good will all this practice do me? I'm here to play football, and coach has got me lifting weights. That has nothing to do with throwing a football around. And he wants me to run inside some tires and jump over this and hit this and hit that. I'm here to play ball. Why am I practicing? All I want to do is play my instrument. Why am I doing my scales up and down? What good is all of this going to do me? Well, the coach realizes that every practice exercise has something that is important, that is directly related to the game, and it's helping us. And when we play every note of those major scales, we're in effect playing every note that we're ever going to play when we play a song. So there is some value there. But we're always asking, well, what good will this do me? Well, it's natural. It's a natural question. And the same is raised with regard to prayer. I like to study from time to time things in God's Word that deal with what we do every day to make sure we understand the value of that. We're not just going through the routines. And prayer is something we do every day. And we need to know that it does have a value. It does do good. Otherwise, we're just simply wasting our time. And so I want to talk a little bit this evening about the matter of James' statement there in chapter 5 and verse 17. The prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. What good does prayer do? Well, I want to begin reading in James chapter 5 and verse 13, and we'll read down through verse 18. James chapter 5 and verse 13, if you will. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Confess therefore your sins one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. One version says, it accomplishes much. The prayer of a righteous man avails much in its working. Elijah was a man of like passions with us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Clearly, James understands that there is something to prayer. He mentions it in verse 13 with regard to suffering. He mentions it again with regard to sickness and healing. He mentions it again with regard to confessing our sins one to another. He mentions it again with regard to Elijah, an Old Testament example. And he says that it accomplishes much. But what is it? What is it that it accomplishes? What good does it do? Well, we're going to see this evening that it does a world of good. And we need to have faith and trust and confidence, and we need to keep the lines of communication open with our Heavenly Father. But the atheist asks, what good does it do? And what he says is simply this, that when you're praying, the only good that it does for you is that there's a little bit of a psychological benefit. In your mind, you feel a little bit better when you get done. But outside of that, nothing whatsoever has been done. Well, I challenge that thought. I challenge that idea. That's not what we find. And there is a psychological benefit. There is a mental or emotional benefit. And we'll see that. But that is not the only thing, as we will see this evening. First of all, what good does prayer do? Well, we pray because we're commanded to pray. So we need to understand that God wants us to do this. And God does not want us to do anything that is not for our good and for our benefit. Jesus said in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 that he taught a parable that men ought always to pray. Ought. Look at that. This is something we need to be doing. This is something that the Lord wants us to be doing. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, that we are to pray without ceasing. And if any man is among you that is suffering, let him pray. Let him pray. The first thing that we need to understand is that we pray because God commands us to and God wants us to. And we need to be on prayer terms with God. Are we praying regularly, or is this something that our spouse does, or this is something that other people do? This is not something that I really do. I need to be doing this, and I need to be on prayer terms with God. What do I mean by that? Well, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I need to be in a right relationship with God. If not, God will not hear my prayer. If I am, then God will hear my prayer. And so I need to be praying because God wants me to do that. Men ought always to pray. Jesus said that, and that includes me. But for God to hear me, I need to be in a right relationship with God. 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 10. For he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears unto their supplication or prayer. God has open ears to our prayer. But the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil. We simply need to understand that, as the proverb writer says, that if we've turned away from God's law, then even our prayer is an abomination to Him. So we need to be on prayer terms with God. And we pray because God wants us to do that. What good does it do? We're doing it because we're fulfilling God's word to do that. But even beyond that, we pray because we recognize that we have needs that are to be supplied only by God. We would not have things that we need if we didn't pray. You might be thinking, well, what are you talking about? I've got a job, and I've got money, or I've got my retirement, and I can go to the store anytime I want. I can buy whatever I want. I pay my bills. I buy clothes. I've got a car. I've got all of these things. It looks like I'm pretty much taking care of myself. Why do I need God? Why do I need prayer? Well, there are some things that are supplied only by God. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, when Simon had sinned, turn with me there, we find that Peter tells him that he's in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. That's why being in sin is so bad. We don't need to take that lightly. And the solution to this is to repent, therefore, of thy wickedness, Acts 8:22, and pray the Lord if perhaps the thought of thy heart should be forgiven thee. Now, all the retirement money in the world and all of our paycheck and all of that will have no effect with regard to forgiveness. Only God can provide that. And so there are things that God provides that are only provided through prayer and seeking forgiveness. And I need your forgiveness. And 1 John 1:9, I need to confess my sin. And the implication there is to pray for that. There are things that are provided. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. We have groanings within us that can only be met and fulfilled, and the needs of them met through prayer. A paycheck is not going to take care of it. We can't go to the store and take care of it. There are things that are going to be taken care of by God only. And so we have, for example, Romans 8 verse 26, in like manner, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. The Spirit here in the original text is, it's not a capital S. And so we've wondered from time to time as we study this portion of Romans, is this my Spirit or is it the Holy Spirit? Now you'll notice in your Bible sometimes that it's a capital S because the translators are trying to work through this. But one thing that will help us is verse 27, He maketh intercession for the saints. An intercessor in other places in Scripture is someone else. It's a third party, if you will. And so I believe the best context here is the Spirit being the Holy Spirit. He maketh intercession for us. An intercessor, someone who intercedes, is not ourselves. It's a third party. So the point simply is that we have groanings. But look at verse 26. The Spirit helpeth our infirmity, for we know not how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us. I may have said verse 27 earlier, also verse 26. An intercessor is another party. And the Holy Spirit does that with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. There are things. Paul had just been talking about how the creation groans. Verse 20, 21, 22. And then he talks about Christians who groan and are going through persecutions. You have to go back to verse 18. Well, you can't just go out and buy something to take care of that. That's taken care of in prayer. Peace that passes all understanding. That's accomplished in prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. That's why I asked Jake if he would read that. And we read this morning, Hebrews 2:18 and Hebrews 4:16 and Hebrews 7:25, that Jesus stands ready to help us as we come to that throne of grace in time of need. But turn with me to James chapter 5 and look again. Several of these benefits that we're looking at this evening are actually found in James chapter 5. When you come down to verses 14, 15 and 16, and the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick. there might be some things that can be taken care of naturally through medicines or going to the doctor. But here we have the prayer of faith saving him that is sick. And if he's committed any sins, it shall be forgiven. Clearly, this is spiritual healing, especially when we come to verse 15. You can't just go out and buy some medicine for that. We're getting things that only God can supply. And so, 1 Peter 3:12, we need to be on praying terms with God. God's ears are open to the righteous, and He stands ready to help in time of need. Needs that are not going to be taken care of by just going out and spending some money. What good does prayer do? It gives us things that you cannot just go out and buy or take care of. And this idea of, well, you know, I've got all my needs met. Well, not all of them are met that way. Many of them may be, but some of them are met in prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your anxiety upon Him because He careth for you. When and where and how is that done? In prayer. And so we pray because we recognize that there are certain needs that are taken care of in prayer and supplied by God. What good does it do? It helps us in these needs. We pray because it can influence God to act in ways that He would not otherwise act. Have you ever thought about that? Here's the Almighty God of the universe who is moved to change His mind and act in another way because you just prayed to Him? How much power is that? See, this is where the atheist misses it. He says prayer is only in your mind. It's just a little psychological thing in you, and that's the only little benefit that you're going to gain from it. In fact, atheists will say, if you want to have religion and you want to have prayer, if that helps you to have a better mental health, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Here's where they miss it. There is a God of a universe that is outside of us. It's not just something in our mind. He is a being. He is real. He is outside of us. And when we pray to Him, He will actually change what He does. Now, before we get to 2 Kings 20 to look at the example of Hezekiah, turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 33. I want us to be reminded that we do not have a God that is distant like the deist. The deist is the person who believes that there is an almighty God, but he's so distant from his creation that it's almost impractical to have anything to do with him. He doesn't hear you. He doesn't see you. He's way off somewhere. He doesn't really care about anything. He made a universe. He wound it up like a clock and he left. There's no more to deal with him. We need to remember that that's not the kind of God that we serve. Look at Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 1. Moreover, the word of Jehovah came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the guard, saying, thus saith Jehovah that doeth it, Jehovah that formeth it, to establish it, Jehovah is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and will show thee great things and difficult, which thou knowest not. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. This is not the deist God, who's up there asleep somewhere or out of touch with his creation. You call upon him, he's real, he will hear you, he will answer. Not only that, but back to our point. He will actually change what he's going to do with regard to you and others. And that is a powerful thing. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 20. There are different examples of this in the Word of God, but here's a powerful one with regard to Hezekiah's sickness. 2 Kings 20 and verse 1. What good does prayer do? It changes God. Wow. That is powerful. In 2 Kings 20 and verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith Jehovah, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. There's a sermon there. All of us one day are going to die. Is your house set in order? And I don't mean, has it been dusted and that kind of... No. This is get your affairs in line with God. And it starts with your personal life and mine. Have I obeyed the gospel? Am I living as a faithful Christian? Set your house in order. Great lesson. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto Jehovah, saying, Remember now, O Jehovah, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart. Hezekiah was one of those who sought to have reforms in Israel. He wanted to call people back to God's word. And have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. So now it's an element of contrition and humility. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle part of the city, that the word of Jehovah came to him, saying, Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the prince of my people, Thus saith Jehovah, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. Why? Jeremiah 33, verse 3. When you call unto me, I will hear. We're not talking about a God that is asleep somewhere and distant. We need to remember that. What good does prayer do? He hears. He heard what David said earlier. He heard that. He's real. I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up into the house of Jehovah. I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own namesake, for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a cake of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Now, what good does prayer do? It changes God. And we need to remember that. Elijah prayed that it rain not. He prayed again, and it rained. Does God have anything to do with whether or not it rains? So, there are example after example of these types of things in the Word of God. What good does prayer do? It influences God to act in ways that He would not otherwise act without our prayer. And we need to remember that. When things are difficult and challenging with regard to our nation, with regard to matters in and out of the church, things look black and dark and bleak, God can change some things. And it's going to be through prayer. Why prayer? What good does it do? Well, we pray because communication is a part of a healthy relationship. Any healthy relationship. Whether it's marriage, husband and wife, whether it's parent and child, whether it's father and son, mother and daughter. Communication, talking, speaking is what helps a healthy relationship. And prayer is speaking to God. And it makes us have a healthy relationship with God. I put these passages here with regard to Jesus. You may have recognized them. Matthew 14, 23, Mark 6, 46. Jesus getting up and going out and praying all night in prayer. He spent in a mountain all night in prayer. Why? Why do that? Because he had a healthy relationship with his Father. He had a healthy communication with his Father. John 11, 42, at the tomb of Lazarus, You always hear my prayer. Well, isn't that the way to be with God? That's a good way to be with God. And so 1 John 5, 14, we need to ask according to His will. And John says that He will grant what we ask if we pray according to His will. We pray because it's a part of a healthy relationship. God speaks to us every day through His Word, and then we in turn speak to Him in prayer. We don't want a relationship with God that is on the rocks. We don't want a relationship with God that is broken. We don't want a relationship with God that's at a dead end and there's nothing good about it. We want a close relationship between Father and Son. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Look at Jesus, where He talks about His Father and his father hears him. And think about that with regard to you and me. We are children of God. God is our heavenly Father. And we need to have a good relationship and communication with him. Just a couple of verses here. Mark chapter 6 and verse 12. Mark chapter 6 and verse 12. How often did Jesus spend time in prayer? Quite often. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Let me get the right place here. Well, Luke chapter 6. Maybe that's my problem. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Yes. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer to God. Why do that? He had a healthy relationship with him. And then again in Luke chapter 9 and verse 28, and it came to pass about 8 days after these things that he took with him Peter and John and James and went up into the mountain to pray. And he was praying. As he was praying, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment became white and dazzling. He had a close relationship with his Father. And so we need to remember that. We pray to keep that relationship close. We pray because prayer demonstrates our trust in God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Have you ever thought about the fact that when you pray for something, God already knows it? Well, then, why pray? Do you know that when we pray, we're not informing God? We're not helping him out in some way. We're not giving him some information that he didn't know about. He knows all before we even ask. And that's what Jesus says. So why do it? Well, the clue is found in the same passage. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8. Jesus said in the matter of prayer, "Be not therefore likened unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." Well, then why pray? What good does it do if he already knows? But keep reading. The point is, I want to serve a God that already knows. Do you know that? I want to serve a God that already knows. That's the whole point. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere. I want a God like that. So then why pray to him? It shows our trust in God and that we want to reverence him and honor him. Your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Well, then why do it? Well, part of the clue is found if you keep reading. After this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He already knows, but it shows trust like a child in his Father. I have a Father in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Look, God already knows that, but it's showing that you need him each day. You rely upon him. You trust upon him for your daily bread. You cannot take one step without him. And it demonstrates that. It reminds me of Acts chapter 17. Turn with me to Acts 17. When we worship God, are we doing that because we're giving him something he needs? No, Paul reminded them in Acts chapter 17 and verse 24, "The God that made the world and all things therein, he being Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he served by men's hands as though he needed anything," because verse 24, he made it all. He doesn't need anything. He made it all. So why do it? Well, keep reading. Why do it? Well, he's not served as though he needed anything, seeing he himself give it to all life and breath and all things, and he made of one every nation. Here's why, verse 27, that they should seek God, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he is not far from each one. For in him we live and move and have our being. We do it because it recognizes that we're nothing without God. We're not giving him something. It's showing that in him we live and move and have our very being. We trust God. We need God. We have to rely upon God. And prayer helps us to keep those things in order. God knows before you even ask. But it's the asking of it that shows trust and dependence and help. Why pray? We pray because it demonstrates our gratitude and thanks. You know, we live in a very selfish world, a very ungrateful world, a very hardened and cruel and mean and proud and sinful, ungrateful world. And in the midst of that darkness, Philippians 2:15, we're to be a light. And one way is this light of gratitude and thankfulness. We need to teach that in our children. We need to practice it ourselves. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We need to be grateful and thankful people. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, we're going to talk about intercession in just a moment. But prayers, supplications, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all men. There are several passages of Scripture that tie in prayer with thanksgiving. Look at chapter 4. Do you pray for your meal? Young Christians, do you pray for your meal when you're out and about, maybe at school, public place? You need to be doing that. Don't skip that. Parents, we need to be praying for every meal. And setting a good example, not just in the home, but at a restaurant. I make no apology for that. We need to be praying. Why? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it be received with thanksgiving. We need to pray for our food. We need to be thankful for what God gives us. For it is sanctified through the word of God and prayer. So when we're giving thanks for our food, it's one time that we can show our gratitude. And it's supplications and thanksgivings. It's prayer with thanksgiving. There are several passages that talk about this kind of thing. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. There's so much in the world like this. The lepers that were cleansed, Luke chapter 17. The 10 lepers that were cleansed, only one comes back to thank God. One of them, Luke 17:15, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell upon his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10? But where are the 9? That's another good sermon. Where are the 9? Where are they? He wasn't asking where is their physical location. He's teaching a lesson. They're ungrateful. They're unthankful. They've walked off. They got something good and walked off and didn't even thank God. Where are the 9? We don't need to be like that. This man comes back and he falls down and glorifies God, giving him thanks. It shows our gratitude and our thankfulness. What good does prayer do? Prayer is something that can be the best gift that you can give others. That's why you need to pray. That's why I need to pray. And right now I'm talking about the particular kind of prayer called intercession, where you're praying for others. Turn over to Genesis chapter 18. What did Lot need from Abraham? What did Lot need from Abraham? How about his money, right? Needed his money. Here he's in this sin-soaked society. Okay? He's neck deep in sin in Sodom and Gomorrah, and so he needs his uncle's money, right? No, that's not what he needs. Well, maybe he needs his uncle's herds and flocks and all that stuff that Abraham had. No, that's not what he needs. What he needs is Abraham's prayers. And that's what he got. Abraham is praying, Lord, will you spare the city for X amount? You know, and will you spare the city for this amount? Will you spare the city for that amount? That is the best thing that Abraham could give Lot at that moment. What good does prayer do? Well, it allows you to give someone else the best gift that you can give them, and that is a prayer for them. Turn to Exodus chapter 32. Sometimes we think about, well, what can we give so-and-so? and we're thinking a gift or money or something along those lines, you know what you can give them? It doesn't cost any money. You can give them a prayer because it works. What did the Israelites in Exodus chapter 32, what did they need from Moses most of all? Out of all the things that Moses could give, what did the Israelites need? They're dancing around that golden calf and they're sinning and having a good old time with their idolatry. And God is about to wipe them out, so much so that he says to Moses, I'll start a new nation through you. What do they need from him at that moment? His money? His possessions? No, what they needed was an intercessory prayer. And so we find, look at Exodus 32, verse 9. Jehovah said, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. And now, therefore, leave me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought Jehovah his God and said, Jehovah, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, that thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with thy great power and with thy mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak, saying, for this evil did he bring them forth to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thy own self, and said unto them, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and all this land that have spoken I will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it. And Jehovah repented of the evil. That goes back to the previous point, that prayer changes God. Jehovah repented of the evil that he would do. And this isn't the only time. Come down to verse 30. And it came to pass on the morning that Moses saw, said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin. Now I will go up unto Jehovah. Peradventure, I shall make atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto Jehovah and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou will forgive their sin. What is this? This is a prayer of intercession. If not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. And Jehovah said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And now go lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And Jehovah smote the people because they made a calf which Aaron had made. What is Moses doing? He's keeping this nation from being wiped out. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 12. When Aaron and Miriam rebelled against the leadership of Moses, and Miriam is struck with leprosy, what does she need the most at that time? What does she need? Well, Numbers chapter 12, turn with me there. We're answering the question, what good does prayer do? Well, it allows you to give someone the most important thing that they need, maybe at that moment. It has nothing to do with money or material things. It's your prayer for them. In Numbers chapter 12, this rebellion is quelled. And Miriam and Aaron should not have been going against Moses' leadership and questioning him and that type of thing. And so we find verse 11. Miriam has been struck with leprosy. And Aaron said unto Moses, O my Lord, lay not, I pray thee, the sin upon us, for that we have done foolishly, and for that we have sinned. And that's a lesson. When we challenge God's authority, that's foolishness. Let her not, I pray thee, be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto Jehovah, saying, heal her, O God, I beseech thee. And Jehovah said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut up without the camp 7 days, and again that she shall be brought in again. And Miriam was shut up without the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. What is Moses doing for her? Praying. So in 1 Timothy 2, that intercessions be made. James 5:16, we are to confess our sins and pray one for another. 3 John, verse 2, John is praying for Gaius that he might have good health and that his soul might prosper. One of the best things you can give somebody is a prayer on their behalf, whether it's for their illness, for their spiritual weakness, for their courage. We can pray for a lot of things. You pray for me and the family regularly. I appreciate that. I need to pray for you. Prayer does a lot of good for someone else. We pray because it develops the necessary spiritual exercise that we need. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, a little bit of bodily exercise profits some, but godliness is profitable for all things. And you know what prayer is? Prayer is to your soul what lifting weights or running or going to the gym and exercising is for your body. And you need to take care of your soul, and so do I. We need to take care of our body, but we need to take care of our soul. And prayer is the spiritual exercise that does that. Reading our Bible and prayer is like going to a spiritual workout gym, if you will. That's what we need. It keeps us godly. And that is profitable for all things. It has the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. That's why we do it. And you know of people who don't exercise physically. You might have a child that's not developing right and they become weak and sickly and may die. Exercise is important. We've got to exercise. We've got to keep our mind and body moving. But spiritual exercise is important as well. Otherwise, we fall prey to the devil. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, we pray and it does good because the moment we stop, we begin to sin against God. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12, and then the lesson is yours. I'm mindful of when the people of Israel asked Samuel for another king. And Samuel is trying to talk with them about what's going to happen when you get this king and the different things that are going to take place and your attitude in desiring all of this. And it's in this discussion that we find this statement. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20, Samuel said unto the people, "Fear not, you have indeed done all this evil, yet turn not aside from following Jehovah, but serve Jehovah with all your heart. And turn you not aside, for then you will go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For Jehovah will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased Jehovah to make you a people unto himself. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against Jehovah in ceasing to pray for you." You've asked for this. In fact, God's going to give it to you. But I'm going to keep praying for you because the moment I stop is the moment I sin. So we pray because it is our duty to, and it's our privilege to. And when we don't, we sin against God. What a great statement right there. Far be it from me that I should sin against Jehovah in ceasing to pray for you. Well, the lesson is yours. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement in just a moment. I wanted to answer the practical question this evening. What good does prayer do? Do you see the wonderful good that it does? All these things that we've studied this evening. That's why we're going to go out this evening. We're going to keep praying. We're going to have a closing prayer in just a moment. And we're going to go home and pray. And tomorrow we're going to pray because it does good. Don't buy into the lie of the atheist that says, well, it just doesn't do any good. It doesn't go anywhere. It's just some words that hit the ceiling and it does nothing after that. And those of us who are older, the longer we live, the more we see the good in prayer. The more we see how God has acted in different situations. And so we keep praying. However, if you're not on prayer terms with God and you need to start that first, you need to take that first step, we would encourage you to do that. You want to be able to go home this evening and have your prayers heard. And God's ear is turned away from those who have turned away from His Word. So we need to come and obey His Word. And we need to be praying. And it does so much good. Yes, James 5:17. The prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Amen. And knowing that, let us make sure that prayer is a great part of our life. If we can help you and assist you in some way in making your life right with God, come and let your needs be made known. The water is ready. There's no better time than now. If, as an erring Christian like Simon, you're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity, I would say nothing other than what Peter said, and that is to repent and pray that the thought of your heart may be forgiven. And God forgives. It avails much. It accomplishes much. And if we can assist you in making your life right in some way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?